Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. You know, I meditate a lot to figure out what I'm going to talk about, and I kept seeing the number 333 and in my dreams and on license plates. And if you've tuned in before, you know that I always look for signs on everything. And I like that. I think it's fun. I think that life is, you know, we have enough issues to focus on in regard to, you know, the challenges of life. And so if you can just play little games with yourself all day long, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? It's just a lot of fun. So the other day I had this dream about 333 and I looked it up and it said the angels. And basically it says that, you know, are you speaking your truth? Are you living your truth? And I know I've talked about this many times, but I don't think you can talk about it enough. So one of the things that I saw in when I always Google, what does 333 mean and things like that. So there was a quote from Maya Angelou, and it says, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. Now, I came from a family of five, which I know I've talked about a million times, and being the middle kid and being in a family of five, you know, I think looking back, my parents are just trying to maintain, you know, think about it. I have five kids. My dad worked all the time. He was a physician, and my mom stayed home since I was born. And so I'm not saying anything against them, but somewhere along the line, I kind of felt a little lost and a little kind of not seen, I guess you could say, and just kind of adjusting to my other siblings and trying to fit in, figure out where I fit in, figure out who I was in this grand scheme of all these women. For one, there was four girls and, you know, really strong personalities. My mom had a strong personality. And so it was like, who am I? And I really don't think I knew at all. Like, I just felt guided by my surroundings instead of my internal feelings. Does that make sense? So, you know, I think through my life and into my 20s and 30s, again, I still tried to, I don't know, walk on this path and this journey, but I always felt like I was suppressing something. And why? Why was I suppressing it? Well, I'll tell you why. So as a middle kid, I think I was a people pleaser. And when you're a people pleaser, you do things that you think people want you to do. And chances are you don't even know what they want you to do, but you sit there and try and please them. In the meantime, was I being truthful to myself? I don't think so. I was trying to be the person they wanted me to be, not necessarily the person I was supposed to be. So do you ever have that feeling where you're doing something? And this isn't that, you know, cliche thing where, you know, I say yes when I mean no, but it kind of goes along with that line of things where you have this very nerve-wracking feeling that something isn't right. It's an irritation. It's a discomfort. And you're like, why am I feeling this way? And you still continue to move forward with whatever the decision was or the situation. And you don't stop to recognize that feeling. And then whatever happens on the other side of this decision, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or I shouldn't have thought that. Or I shouldn't have said that. And the bottom line is, that's where you really start to just ignite inside of yourself the understanding that our bodies and our minds are so strong and so intuitive if we choose to tune in. So if you're irritated about something or someone, don't necessarily just look at it as face value, like, oh, I'm just in a bad mood today. No, figure out why you're irritated. Figure out why you feel discomfort. And if you do, try not to barrel through it. Like, recognize it. You know, there's this person, and I'm not going to say who, but every time I do this gig, as a musician, you know, I'm a musician, and I do this gig and they treat me terribly. And every year I say I'm not going to do it. And every year they contact me and want me to do it again. And I have been doing this gig for 20 years, considering thinking that maybe at some point the results will be different. You know what they call that? Insanity. So why do I do it? Where is that within myself where I'm not speaking my truth? Now, my truth there, and I know we're not supposed to say should, could, would. My truth there should be, I deserve better. Whatever the case may be, how many other people do the gig, that's not my truth. That's their truth. That's something they got to deal with. But my truth is, even if that means I sit home that night, but I'm surrounded by love and light and good energy, isn't that better? Will my life be over if I don't do this one thing that makes me feel awful every year and it takes me like a month to get over it? Or do I learn how to deal with it? Nah, I don't think that's the right thing because I've already done that 20 years and I haven't dealt with it, obviously, because we're talking about it right now on my radio show. So that should tell you something. So what is your truth? What is your story? I love to pick up journals. I have journals like, oh my gosh, you should look at my office. There's just tons of them. Some of them only have 3 pages written. Some have, you know, from front to back finished, you know. But there is this one I haven't started yet. And it says something about like, you know, making your life something you want to talk about, or, you know, the life that you want to live. And so I decided, I've been letting it sit on my desk for a while, and I decided to write in it just a little bit, because I was in a really good mood. And I thought, okay, so let's say, not to be morbid, but let's say I died. And my daughter has to clean out my office, poor thing. And she finds this book and she reads it. And I wanted her to read that I really enjoyed my life, that I love the life I have right now. And I hate to say my name, I mean my age, but being 56 kind of freaks me out. You know, it's on the other end of the spectrum as far as life and death. And you do start thinking different. You know, your circle gets, I don't want to say smaller, but smarter. You surround yourself more with people that build you up, not break you down. You find out what's super important. And sometimes it surprises you. You know, I'm a go-getter. I'm constantly creating. I'm constantly pushing myself outside my comfort zone. And I got to tell you, sometimes I'm tired from doing that. But I also believe that for me especially, but I think for everyone, if you challenge yourself, you grow. If you don't challenge yourself, and you sit really comfortable in your comfort zone, there's not a whole lot of growth. Now, that's not to say rest, relax, take vacation, enjoy your family. But, you know, do things that make you feel uncomfortable once in a while. Doesn't have to be a daily thing, even though Eleanor Roosevelt recommends that. But do things. Don't shy away from things like that. Because guess what? When you challenge yourself, one, I think the universe puts things in your lap and says, okay, let's see how she's going to handle this. And then you can run from it. But usually when you run from a challenge, you're telling yourself that you don't think you're good enough or capable enough to take it on. Even if you're kicking and screaming going towards it, I recommend you do it. Some of the hardest things I ever did in my life. Oh my God. I just remember thinking, I'm not going to survive this decision. I'm not going to get through this. And I didn't know what would happen. It was so unknown. The fear was huge. And then when I got on the other side of it, yeah, I felt like I ran a race. But the bottom line is I knew I got through it. And you ever do those things where you're looking in your past and you're like, how did I get through that? I was talking to my daughter the other day. We were making breakfast and we were talking about her grade school and high school. I put her through a private school on a musician's salary. And my ex-husband was a musician as well. And I insisted that she went to this private school because at the time the schools around us were kind of in a flux. They weren't really focused. They were having trouble. And I only had one kid and one shot. So I put her through the school. It was ridiculous amounts of money. I look back and I don't know how I did it. I remember being, I know you're not supposed to say broke, but I remember being broke a lot. I remember thinking macaroni and cheese was going to be expensive. I remember the kid always wanted to go to Somerset. Talk about depressing. You have no money. She wants to go to Somerset. I want to be a pleaser. So I take my kid and she wants to eat at, I can't remember that place. Oh, J. Alexander's for dinner. All I could afford was French fries. Well, that's all she wanted to eat. So kind of came in handy. That's all I could afford. We'd split the French fries. She was a happy camper. She didn't know any different. But somehow, when I look back and I think, my God, and I remember thinking, I'll never get through this. They'll come and take my house. They'll take my car. They'll take everything. And I'll never get through this. But I knew my story and my truth was that I wanted my kid to have a great education. And she ended up graduating. She ended up going through college again. How am I going to pay for that? Somehow, it always worked out, but I stuck to my truth. Instead of running from the challenge, I stuck to it and made it through. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, whatever your truth is or your story is, it's going to be easy. Like if you define it and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I got it. I figured out what I got to do. Doesn't mean like all of a sudden it's going to be a cakewalk. It means that you got to do the work. And it also means that while you're listening to yourself, when you're tired, lay down. Just lay down and take a break. Take a break from your mind. Take a break for your body. Do things that are good for you. So, and you're not alone. Remember that. You're not alone. So, and the reason I'm saying that is because I saw this Wayne Dyer. I love him. And I'm so sad that he passed away from cancer. That just blows my mind. But in his book, A Course in Miracles, it says, if you know who walked beside you at all times on the path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear and doubt again. So as you're going on this path, you know, the story of yours, and you're speaking your truth and you're freaking out because you don't necessarily think people might understand where you're coming from or what you're going through. You know, the beautiful thing about it, one thing I learned, one of the best lessons I learned as a singer-songwriter is when I tell a story and I sing a song and I see tears just streaming down from people's faces, it is acknowledgement to me that I'm not alone, that I'm not alone in my experience and in my pain and in my story. So when you're, you know, trying to figure it out and you're afraid to be you and afraid to tell people your story, remember that most likely the person you're telling can relate somehow. That may not be the exact story, but they can relate to the fears, to the challenges, to the excitement of the idea that you are willing to go ahead and speak your truth. So what if you chose not to? You know, what if you chose not to? Like you live in your house and you're by yourself and you don't want to let anyone in, or you're afraid that people might judge you for being who you want to be. Well, that happened to me. I knew I wanted to be a singer, but I had lived this life in my family as the do-good kid, the one who would follow what my parents would hope to be their dream for me. I mean, all parents want the best for their children, so they kind of say, why don't you become a nurse? Why don't you do this? Why don't you get a job? Why don't you get married? Why don't you graduate from college? Why don't you do all those things? Are great suggestions, aren't they? Absolutely. Very smart. But guess what? That wasn't my story. But I was so afraid to tell my story. My story was that I was an artist. But I didn't even know I was an artist because I was so busy people-pleasing that I couldn't figure out why I had this ridiculous amounts of restlessness in me. I couldn't even explain it. I didn't even know how to explain it to people. And on top of it, not only could I not explain it to my parents, who I wasn't even living with anymore, I couldn't even explain it to my friends. I had surrounded myself with people who didn't even really know me. They didn't know my truest desires. They didn't know my truth because I was the person that each of those people wanted me to be when they wanted me to be that. I was the best friend who, you know, would, you know, get a regular job. I was, you know, the daughter that would do everything, the granddaughter that would take, you know, my grandma grocery shopping, even though times I was like, I am so sick of her taking 300 hours to pick out a can of soup. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't doing good things. You can do good things, but you have to stay within your truth as well. And how do you get to that? How do you figure it out? So let's do this little quiz. Let's say that your slate is clean. Let's say there's nothing on it. Let's say there's no one in your life you feel you have to please or that you're responsible for. And if you could create the person you wanted to be, what would be the first thoughts that came to you? What would it look like? So, you know, I'm trying to do that with this journal that I just bought. What is, if I was on my deathbed and I was looking backwards, what would I like my life to look like? Well, I'll say that at 56, I'm pretty damn happy with what I have. What I would recommend to myself is to enjoy, not always search. Not always be searching for that next big gig, that next big break, that, you know, next big paycheck, but to enjoy my moment. I don't do that enough. I don't live in the moment. You know, there's so many times when I was going to a gig and we'd be in the car and it'd be late and you could see, like, I used to like to look, and not to be creepy, but I used to like to look into people's houses and see them at dinner. Like a family gathered around at dinner with candles lit, and you tell the mom was drinking a nice glass of red or something. And I was jealous. And I was like, okay, well, you could have that, but you're on your way to a gig. This is what you chose. So last night, I opened my window blinds because my daughter, my husband, and I made a dinner, and we were sitting there having a wonderful dinner. And with the candle lit, I didn't have wine, but I had water. And it was like, yeah, this is, and I couldn't figure out that a lot of times when I would sit down with family and have a dinner, I would start crying. And I was like, why am I always so emotional? But I think there's the truth there, right? There is that non-anxious feeling. That's that truth just screaming at me going, these are the things that make you happy. You know, these really make you happy. So we start to dissect. Let's start dissect what makes you really happy and what makes you feel god awful. Who makes you really happy and who makes you feel god awful? Is there someone in your life that you're always trying to please? And no matter how much you put in that well, it never fills it up. Guess what? Politely, quietly in your mind, send them love. And run away because it's not a genuine relationship. They have to work on themselves. It's nothing that you're doing wrong and it's nothing they're doing wrong, but it's something within themselves that they have to look into. So do you believe that your soul can talk to you? I do. I think that your soul can tell you a lot of things. I think that if you truly, truly listen to it, there's a warmth I feel, and I don't know if anyone else is on board with me on this, but you know when something magical happens and you're like, oh, this feels so good. And I hate to compare it to alcohol because that wouldn't be good, but you know, it's a cold day and you drink a schnapps, that warm fuzzy feeling. And I'm sorry for all of you clean people out there who don't drink, but it's that warm, fuzzy feeling that, oh yeah, this is so right, you know? And that's when you are listening to your soul and you're in the right place and you're doing the right things. So another thing too, that, some people have asked me before, it's like, how do you know, what path you're going on, or what my, you know, some people say, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my life is supposed to look like. I have no clue. Well, it's kind of simple in a way. You can base your decisions on either love or fear. And if you base your decision on love, and that is love of self, love of nature, love of other people, love of the situation, or you can base your decision on fear. So fear of someone leaving you, you know, how many people have that where they'll just do or say anything because they're so afraid someone's going to leave them? Well, guess what? Sooner or later, if you have that fear, they may or may not leave you, but you have to be true to yourself first. You know, if we don't figure out who we are, how do you expect the other person to treat you the way you're supposed to be if you haven't figured it out yourself? So we have this joke in my family. We watched Runaway Bride for like 900 times, the movie with Julia Roberts. There's a scene in there. So here's this girl who's like been engaged 100 times, starts walking down the aisle and just does not, she runs away. So what in the movie is this female actress, you know, Julia Roberts, she is trying to become whoever she's with. So if one guy likes poached eggs, she likes poached eggs. And the other guy likes scrambled eggs, her favorite is scrambled eggs. And then the other guy is this, that, and the other thing. Bottom line is she never knows what kind of eggs she likes. Now, I know that kind of breaks it down really generic. But what I always say to my daughter, because we're both kind of control freaks in a way, and, well, not in a way, in a lot of ways. So I always say, as she's saying something about her boyfriend or something, I'll say, focus on Maggie, because there's a scene in the movie where she's getting worked up by somebody saying something. And so her fiance that she ends up not marrying says, keep the focus on you. So when you're trying to arrange the situation that's in front of you and control the situation, and you don't feel like you're speaking your truth and they're not understanding you, if you focus on you instead of how that person is reacting or how that person is developing the situation in front of you, you can't lose. If you focus on you, what is your untold story? What is the art of speaking your truth? And remember, Maya says, there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. So if you come with your story and come with love instead of fear, you don't have to go barreling down people and saying, this is my story and this is my truth and you have to understand me. No, you just come with love, with peace, with understanding of yourself and the human spirit, and realize that we are all struggling one way or another. Doesn't mean we don't have good days, but we all have bad days too. So learn from yourself and then be a good listener. And then you can also understand that everyone else is trying to figure out their truth and their story. And once you get it pretty down pat, hey, maybe you can help people. Imagine that if you genuinely speak up and you really are speaking your truth, you will be respected. People understand that. They will respect you for it as long as you're not barreling them down and being self-righteous or ego. But if you come with love and you come with your story, it can be a good thing for other people to see and recognize and be like, man, that's what I want to do. I want to speak my truth. I want people to understand who exactly I want to be. I don't want to hide beyond this, you know, what I think they think I should be. I just want to be. Wouldn't it be so much easier in life if we could all just be? We wouldn't be exhausted trying to be someone else. So on that note, don't be exhausted. Be yourself. Embrace yourself. Love yourself. And whatever you're going through, know that someone else has been through it too, and you'll get on the other side of it. just stay close to yourself and be true to yourself and know that you're not alone. As Wayne Dyer says, if you know who walked beside you at all times on the path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear and doubt again. So go fearless, my friends, and I'll talk to you next week.